Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And we'll use that as kind of a springboard to talk about the rest of the book, okay? So if you don't mind standing one more time, if you stand and let's honor God as I read these 18 verses, and then we'll ask God's blessing on our time together. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was, the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The names of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 15. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you." And finally, verse 18. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Amen. Amen. Father, as we bow together, we just humbly confess that we need your help to understand the truths from this wonderful portion of history. You have recorded us that we should learn from the example of Ruth and others that have loved you in this story. So would you enlighten the eyes of our hearts now and help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ and help us to better represent him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and let's see if we can move through this. And y'all pray for me because I haven't quite worked out all that we're going to read, but we're going to try to work our way. So now let's think about what we've read thus far. Naomi and her family had experienced famine, all right, in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. And so as a result of that, they left Bethlehem to go to Moab. Now, we haven't gotten there yet in Genesis, but we will the next week or two. You're going to find out that the Moabites were descendants of Lot, okay? So they really were relatives in that sense, but they were adversaries. And so the Moabites were adversaries, even though they were blood relatives of the Israelites. So Naomi and her family then go to the land of Moab to get food. But now they get there, and we're not given the exact time, but Naomi's husband dies, right? And so now it's Naomi and her two sons. Well, Naomi's sons then find wives among the Moabites, right? So they have married, strange women that are not believers. They worship other gods. And after, the Bible says, 10 years, those two sons die. You got it? So those two sons have married. They lived with their wives for 10 years. They die. So now you have Naomi and two daughters-in-law, right? That's the first five verses. You with us so far? One is Orpah and the other is Ruth. Then we see that, and you probably don't know this because our culture is so different. Now, in this culture, the woman's primary sphere of influence and work was the home. And things that had to do with the home, with food and all of those kinds of things. And the woman depended upon the man to be the primary, as we would call it, breadwinner, right? This was the income coming into the family, the stability. Now, with all the men gone in this family, you see that these three women are in a fairly desperate situation. No income, no stability, and in that sense, no hope of change, right? And so that's where we see them. In verse 5, you see how verse 5 reads, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. No men, they're in a fairly desperate situation. The next thing we notice, beginning at verse 6, is that Naomi finds out that now God has visited Israel, and now they've got rain and food. They've got provision there. So now she is going to leave Moab and go back, you got it, to Bethlehem. And she doesn't want her daughters-in-law to go with her because she doesn't see any future for them back there, right? They can find husbands in their own home, among their own people. So she tries to dissuade them, tries to discourage them from going. But Ruth is loyal. Ruth is a committed woman, right? She wasn't just committed to her husband. She was committed to her husband's in-laws. You stay with this now. And so you see this wonderful character in this woman. Ruth, Naomi tries to dissuade her, but Ruth will not turn back. She is determined to go on with her. And you see verse 16 there? Your people shall be my people. She is determined that she's going to stay with this mother-in-law. Where are you going? I'm going, right? Then we notice that Ruth is converted. This is a wonderful thing. They didn't have the New Testament like you and I do, but they knew enough. They being Elimelech and his family knew enough that to know that she shouldn't have been marrying women that weren't among the people of God. Okay, but they did. They found themselves in that situation. And they did. Now, thank God for grace, okay? Because even though they've gone and they've gotten themselves in a difficult situation, God still has a plan for this Gentile woman, right? And so she is converted. You see, again, look at verse 16. See that second sentence? Your people shall be my people and your God, what? My God. She accepts, she's turning away from all of her heathen gods, and she is now what? Turning to the true God. She is converted, and now she is going to return to Bethlehem with Naomi in the same loyalty that she had before she was converted. Except now it's a loyalty that comes from the work of God in her, the work of the Spirit in her. And you and I if you'll be honest, we know people that are loyal and not Christians, not believers, all right? And so there's a sense of loyalty that comes even when you're not a believer. But after you become a believer, there's supernatural power that God gives you to stick out a situation when you know everything in you is saying, I've had enough. But grace comes, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians, my grace is what? Sufficient for you, and my grace will carry you when you are tired and ready to give up. And so we see this converted woman staying with Naomi and going back home with her. And I'm telling y'all something. Naomi is a bitter woman. The Bible describes her as a bitter, bitter woman. What does bitterness mean? She has unforgiveness in her heart. And the sad part is that this unforgiveness is toward God. Okay? She's angry toward God. And you can't fix that. I mean, quiet. God is not going to change. So thank God that he doesn't just push us away when we are bitter. God, he deals with us as children, right? And so he's going to show us how wonderfully he's going to deal with this bitter mother-in-law through this gracious daughter-in-law. And so Naomi is loyal in spite of Ruth is loyal in spite of Naomi's bitterness. Look at verse 19. Can you turn there real quick? You see verse 19? So the two of them, that is Naomi and Ruth, went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? Look at this. She said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me? And so Naomi is struggling through this anger and this bitterness. By the way, the name Naomi means what? Pleasant. The name Mara means bitter. And so Naomi says, don't call me pleasant because I'm not. I am bitter. Now, with that in mind, this is a wonderful story, and I hope that we can move through it fairly quickly. I want to take these two big thoughts as we look at the last three chapters and see if I can help you see Ruth's loyalty as a widow and then Ruth's loyalty as a wife and mother. And so our subject for today is the reward of a woman's loyalty, all right? The reward of a woman's loyalty. Let's begin by looking at Ruth's loyalty as a widow and see how she finds favor with Boaz. Boaz is brought into the story because he is actually a close relative. All right. He's a close relative of Naomi's husband, of Elimelech. And God uses, if you will, Ruth's trials to direct her to Boaz for help. Look at, I will read these. You got chapter 2? Turn to Ruth chapter 2, and let's read the first three verses. Take a look at it. Now, Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him, in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. Now look at that. God has used these trials, these difficulties, these hard places in life to actually direct Ruth to Boaz for help. Now, those of you who know the Bible know how wonderful this is. She doesn't know that. All Ruth knows is that they are hungry and they need food to eat. She doesn't know what God is doing. Just like you and I in our life, we don't know what God is doing. That's the reason we need to follow and learn from Ruth. God has led her to Boaz for help. And you will remember that it was God who controlled the circumstances that moved Naomi to the place where she actually met Ruth, right? It was God who brought the drought. The drought sent them, caused them to go to Moab. And it was God who brought provision back Israel. So it was God that caused them to leave Moab and go back to Bethlehem. Why? Because that's where Boaz is. He's back in, he's not over here in Moab. He's in Bethlehem. And so look at how God is controlling everything. Even when it looks, when it's hard and it makes no sense. God, what? We know that God causes what? All things to work together for good. He is doing it. My brother, my sister. Boaz, now look at this. Boaz comes in from the field and he notices there's a woman here that ain't normally around. And he notices her beauty and her humility and her loyalty. And so he inquires about her. Let me see if I can find a verse. Look at, you see verse 5? Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? You see, he's inquiring about Ruth, because he knows that she isn't normally there, right? Look at verse 7. Well, let's look at verse 10 and 11. After having this interaction with Boaz, verse 10 says of Ruth, she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But look at verse 11. But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before." This is amazing. Boaz said, "I have heard." When, my brother, my sister, when you live an upright life before God, your reputation precedes you. It precedes you. So just trust them even when things don't appear to be working well. Boaz observes this humility and this loyalty in her. Then Boaz offered Ruth protection and provision. He tells her to stay there in his fields. Look at verse 8. You see verse 8? Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women." Why? Because you don't know this, but women did most of the reaping. They do most of their work in the fields, but they were also vulnerable to being assaulted, okay, and harm coming to them. So what is he saying? Stay with my people and I'll protect you, but you also stay with my people and I'll feed you. I'm going to make sure that you have food to eat. So he offers provision and protection. And then Ruth can't wait to get home. She brings the good news to Naomi to let her know that she has met Boaz. And obviously Naomi knows who Boaz is. And so this is working out wonderfully. But now that's how, what I say there is, Ruth finds favor with Boaz. In chapter 3, that's chapter 2. In chapter 3, Ruth actually finds love. Now look at how this is progressing. She's unknown. Out of her need, she goes and she has her need being met, and she actually finds favor with the owner, with the master, if you will. But now the master isn't going to stop at just knowing her and being favorable toward her. The master is going to love her. Notice Ruth is the one then that first seeks a loving relationship with Boaz. In chapter 3, Ruth is not familiar with the customs of the Jews, of the Israelites. And so Naomi tells her that this is a way that you respond to a man when you are interested, when you want to make a proposal. Okay? And so she says, he's going to have a feast. And at this feast, they're going to be eating and drinking. And by the way, Psalm is very clear. God made wine for merriment, right? And to liven the spirit. And it's going to get done, and he's going to be a little tipsy, and then he's going to go to sleep. Okay? And so she said, you watch him finish eating, and you watch him go down and watch where he goes to sleep, and then you go and lay at his feet. That was a sign of humility, okay? And that's exactly what she did. She went, after he went to sleep, she went and laid down at his feet. And you got chapter 3? Look at verse 8. You got chapter 3? Look at verse 8. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. You see that? Now look at this. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant." But look at this next phrase. "Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer." That's a proposal. "Will you marry me?" Now you have to understand that this is from the Levitical law. This was a part of the law when a young widow had lost her husband. In order that she wouldn't lose all of their possessions, then a close relative would marry that widow to keep the what possessions in the family. So this is not just a boisterous act here. Boaz knows the law, and he knows that this is a right biblical proposal from a woman. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. Stay with me now. And so she says, "You are a redeemer." And of course, Boaz, Boaz, I'm sure, is thrilled to find this woman to whom he was attracted initially now actually proposing marriage. And so you see verses 10 through 18, Boaz actually makes a promise of love to Ruth. Ruth went seeking a loving relationship, and Boaz makes a promise of love to her. You see that in verses 10 through 18. Look at verse 10. You got verse 10? And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich." You see, Boaz recognizes, I'm not at the top of the notch here, right? I wouldn't be an esquire he realizes what's going on here. And apparently he's not a young man. But he's saying, "You have really encouraged my heart in that you would come to me and offer this great kindness to me." Verse 11, "And now, my daughter," look at this, "do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." God is at work in this woman. "And now it is true that I am a redeemer." But look at the next issue. "Yet there is a redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning." This is amazing. God, and I won't finish reading the story, but what Boaz did is he said, "I want you to wait until just before daybreak, and I want you to leave." Why? I don't want any scandal. I don't want people thinking that something ugly was going on. Look at this. This is an honorable man, and this is an honorable woman. They were in a very compromising position. But they said, "No, we want to do this, what? God's way." Now I'm saying to all of you young men, listen to this. You're going to find yourself in these compromises, and for young women listening, you're going to find yourself in compromising positions. You don't have to compromise because you find somebody tempting you. You can, just as with Joseph, you can stand for God even though you find you. Now don't go looking for compromising situations. But even though you find yourself, you can still stand for the Lord, right? Amen. Young people, listen to that. God will strengthen you to do what is right and holy, even when you are tempted. So as we leave this point and try to get ready for our next one, I want you to remember this. As a believer, Ruth graciously overlooks her mother-in-law's failure. Y'all following this? As a believer, Ruth's mother-in-law had a whole lot of problems. But she overlooked her mother-in-law's failures and her bitterness, and she went on and loved her anyway. Why do we love? Because God, first loved us. Christian, are you listening to me? We love because God first loved us. So when we find people that may be, quote, difficult for us to love, think about how difficult we are to love. And let God work greater grace in us, right? Perfect love. We are able to overlook these issues if you really want to love someone, right? And so she was able to overlook her mother-in-law's failure. And these weren't just little issues. These were glaring problems. This was an angry, angry, angry mother-in-law. And yet she loved her on through. She was committed to her anyway. And then lastly, I just want you to remember that Ruth's outward beauty and her godly character is what attracted Boaz. And I want to say that to every young woman here. That keep that in mind. It's a whole lot more than how you look out on the outside. If you're looking for a Christian, a believing husband, you need to have beauty on the inside too. There needs to be real character, right? On the inside. Remember that we got a perfect example here of a godly woman that went seeking for favor and love, and she found it in a man. Last point. Let's look at Ruth's. Now, that was Ruth's loyalty as a widow. And then lastly, we want to look at Ruth's loyalty as a wife and mother. And we'll try to wrap all this up. Notice, this is chapter 4. Notice at the early part of chapter 4, Ruth's being loyal as a wife and mother, she finds redemption with Boaz. And the way this works its way out, Boaz takes the initiative and he makes the arrangements to redeem Ruth. That's in verses 1 through 8. You got Ruth chapter 4? Look at verse 1. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came near. Now this is a relative that's a closer relative than Boaz is. Y'all know how our families are set up. We have uncles and aunts, and then you got cousins, and we got first cousins and second cousins, right? That kind of. And so this was a relative that was closer than Boaz, and so he's got to give this closer relative the priority if he wants to redeem. Now y'all know what it means by redeem. I told you before, he is going to keep Elimelech's property from falling into another family's hand. Keep Naomi in her desperation from going and selling her property, and which would mean herself and her daughter-in-law, into somebody else's family. So this close relative can actually redeem them himself. And so look again. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. This is the closer relative. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down, and he then explains the situation to him with Naomi's situation. Look at verse 5. Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Verse 6. Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance." This is what he says to Boaz. "Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." That's the way God providentially had planned for it to work. Now Boaz has the legal right to redeem Ruth, Naomi, and all that they have. Verse 7. Now this was the custom in the former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So that when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Verse 9. And we'll look at verse 9 in just a minute. So the point is that now we've reached the point where Boaz has made the arrangement to redeem Ruth. And by God's great mercy, Boaz pays the price of redemption. You see that in verse 9 through 12. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. This is a wonderful, wonderful picture of what you and I have come to experience in the New Testament. We have been redeemed, right? Amen. Jesus redeemed us. When we were just like Naomi and Ruth, we didn't have any money. We didn't have anything to pay. Jesus came and what? Paid the price. 1 Corinthians says we've been what? Bought with a price. Hallelujah. He paid it. He ransomed his, with the ransom was his own blood, his own life. You see this wonderful picture here? So God has shown us this beautiful picture of redemption for you and I to be reminded that this is, this. You and I have lived this out experientially ourselves. Right? We have lived this out in our wonderful, wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. And then finally, then we not only see that Naomi finds redemption with Boaz, she finds marriage and a family with Boaz likewise. Boaz married his Gentile bride without any reservations, without any stipulation. Look at verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. No, nothing else to be said about it. It's irrelevant that she's a Gentile. It doesn't matter what her history is. You heard Brother Billy say there is therefore now what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter where Ruth came from. Her background has been cleansed. It's been washed. She is ready to be Boaz's wife. Amen. So it is with us. We come from some horrible places. But Jesus has washed us, he's cleansed us, and he has what? Bought us with his own life. Hallelujah. Yes. Ruth became, and then you see Ruth became pregnant. And this was a gift from God. And she bore Boaz a son. This is all a part of the plan of God. And he went into her, look at verse 13. And the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. That is true of any woman that has ever had a child. It is a gift from God. Amen. Hallelujah. If anybody in all of the world is going to heighten the value of a child, it ought to be the Christian. Don't let this gobbledygook about when conception happens and when the child becomes a child. Don't listen to all that. God said, I formed you in your mother's womb. From the very conception, it's all a work of God. It's a gift from God. And with a purpose. Everyone has been created with a purpose. Amen. This is wonderful. And so Ruth became pregnant. And God gave her this gracious gift of a son. And the wonderful thing is that people in every generation are going to be blessed because of this marriage. This woman that came out of such difficulty. God, think of what God did to bring Ruth back here. To meet Boaz. To get married. And to have a child. Who would have ever, excuse my language, thought that it would happen that way? But God, that's God is not a man. God, he knows the end from the beginning. You see verse 14? Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. Naomi never thought that was going to happen. You don't read any more about Naomi being bitter. Naomi thought the only way she could ever lose her bitterness and be and get rid of that anger was to have a husband. God showed her, you don't, that my ways are so different than yours. She didn't have any idea that a little grandchild would change her life like this. Isn't this wonderful? God's ways are so, so wonderful. Then Naomi took the child and laid it on her lap and became the nurse. Verse 17. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him, you get the story. You already knew the story, didn't you? They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. We just read about the great grandparents of King David. Ruth didn't know anything about David. She wasn't trying to get in the lineage of David. That, her plan wasn't to try to become a subject matter of Scripture so that you and I would be sitting here centuries later reading. It wasn't she was hungry, and she was trying to eat, and she was trusting God, and God was working out this mighty, wonderful plan. Amen. Isn't this wonderful? Ruth obeyed God in humility and faith. This was wonderful as I thought about this. She had very limited knowledge of Scripture. She was more faithful than Naomi, who knew the Bible. She's a heathen. She comes out of a culture that worships all kinds of God. Naomi has been raised up on the Scriptures. Naomi is the bitter one. Naomi is the one that won't forgive. Naomi is the angry one. Ruth is the one who's the encourager, who's committed, who's faithful. Come on now. We can learn that you can be faithful even though you have limited knowledge of Scripture. You can't use that as an excuse. God expects faithfulness, period, right? Ruth trusted God with her future. Right? She trusted God when she was a widow. She trusted God when she was a daughter-in-law. She trusted God when she was a beggar. Trusted God. She trusted God when she became a wife. She trusted God when she became a mother. She trusted God, even though she didn't know this, she trusted God as she now becomes a matriarch in God's great plan of redemption. Matthew 1:5 lists out Ruth. Amen. She didn't know that that was what was being worked out here. She's just thankful to meet a man that she could marry and to get a son from God. We don't know what God is working out. We just need to be what? Faithful. God found Ruth when she was spiritually lost in a dark and foreign land. God loved Ruth. Therefore, Ruth loved Naomi. You got this? God comforted Ruth. Therefore, Ruth comforted Naomi. God was loyal to Ruth. Therefore, Ruth was loyal to Naomi. God was faithful to Ruth. Therefore, Ruth was faithful to Naomi. You see how this thing works? God had humbled Ruth. Therefore, she could humbly seek help and deliverance from Boaz. And you know what else is so wonderful? God rewards Ruth's loyalty, her humility, and her faithfulness with both spiritual and physical blessings. Amen. You and I should not expect only physical blessings when you've been faithful. God does things in your heart. He gives you joy when things don't even change, when you've been faithful. Right? Paul prayed about this thorn on a regular basis until God finally told him, Paul, we're not going to change that. Paul said, well, I might as well rejoice then. Right? I might as well rejoice in my difficulties and my weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, my brother, my sister, we've got to stop with the excuses. We all, look at Ruth. We're in so much better. Everybody in here, if you don't have a completed Bible, it's because you set it on the side or something. We all have access to the completed Word of God. And you and I still find ourselves like Naomi, more like Naomi than Ruth. Angry about things and fussy and complaining rather than loving life and having good days and finding joy. And so as we conclude, I just want to point out a few things, and I particularly want to encourage women today. On this day, when we are thinking about and acknowledging mothers, let's see what can be learned from Ruth. First of all, God always knows where you are. Ruth was lost and blind and living out her life of ease and pleasure. But God knew where she was, right? So my sister, just be confident of the fact, even if you are not saved, God knows where you are. Even if you are blind and lost and enslaved to sin, God knows, He sees and He knows where you are. Don't we learn that from Ruth? Even when you have gone through a devastating loss like that of a spouse, God knows where you are. And it doesn't have to be your spouse. Women, you can have all sorts of experiences in life that just put a hole in your heart. God still knows where you are. He hasn't forgotten you. Isn't that good news? Amen. God knows where you are, and He can save anyone. When you have suffered devastating financial loss, and I know that many of our women have had to go through that, don't let that drive you to despair. Just as God was so faithful and so gentle. Now, He didn't fix Ruth's problems immediately, did He? But He was at work. My God shall what? Supply all. Did He supply her needs? Yes. He did. Now, it might not have been the way it was before, but God kept His what? Promise. And in Ruth's staying with the will of God to meet her needs. And she could have taken the easy road. But she chose to stay with God's will. God was working out another plan. Wasn't He? So even when you've gone through severe financial loss, you got to trust God. You got to stay with what you know. Stay with what God says to do. Because if you do that, He'll show you what He's working out. He really does cause all things to work together for good. Even if it means you got to go through some poverty. Now, there were many other women in Bethlehem that didn't have to go to the fields and glean. But Ruth didn't say, why am I not like them? She got up every day and went and did what the will of God was for her. So you and I have to learn not to compare our situation and ourselves with somebody else. Right, women? When you feel helpless and humiliated by life circumstances, remember that God uses trials to reveal His will. Think of how humiliating it was for Ruth to have to get up every day and put on those dirty servant clothes and go out and crawl around in the dust and the dirt. Now, y'all do know gleaning means that you take the leftovers from somebody's field. So she wasn't even out picking from the major abundance, right? Gleaning means that what it meant is that whoever owned a field didn't take all of the produce from the edges. You leave some for those for the poor and the needy. And so when people saw Ruth there, they knew she was poor. That didn't stop her from going. My sisters, don't let what you might consider to be shame keep you from finding out God's will for you. Persevere. Stay faithful. Stay humble and loyal to God and the people He's placed in your life. I'm not saying that it's easy. All of us know the struggle and the challenge when things are falling apart around you. The financial pressure brings so much difficulty and so many problems. And if you've got illness and maybe even death, it just exacerbates the problem. But God is still working in it. Stay faithful, my sister. Don't give way. Don't give way under the pressure. God's grace is sufficient. He'll help you get through it. Stay faithful to the people He's placed in your life. Stay with your tight financial budget. Don't try to fix everything. Let God work it out. Right? Is it taking longer than you thought? Look at Ruth. But God had a plan. See, if she had chosen a different route, then that wouldn't have led to Boaz. She could have found an easy husband, but that wasn't the right husband. Okay? And so stay with your tight financial budget. Don't be ashamed of your financial situation when you're in the will of God. He'll lead you. He'll lead you. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. Don't be frustrated or angry. God will give you peace in your poverty. You believe that? God will give you joy in your pain. God will give you patience in your persecution. And God will give you love through it all to the end. He'll do it. He'll do it. Jesus is interceding for you, my sister. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. He'll teach you. He'll guide you. He'll convict you. And He'll empower you for victory. And of course, the same is true for every male in this room and under the sound of my voice. The same Lord will do the same for you. And if you're not a Christian today, you can experience the same hope. You can experience the same salvation. You can have the same purpose in life as Ruth and every other believer. You can have the same love, the same joy, the same peace, and the same patience. But you must believe in Jesus. You cannot come to know any of these wonderful graces and experiences of life without Jesus. There is no life apart from Him. But in Him, you'll never, never, never be disappointed. He is the Lord. He's Ruth's Lord. He's Naomi's Lord. And He can be your Lord, my friend. But you gotta come to Jesus in faith. Lord, we thank You for these few minutes that we spent together in Your Word. I'd be the first to say, Lord, help me to learn these lessons from Ruth. Help me to better handle disappointments and hurts and pains in life. Help me to better handle financial strain and pressure. Help me not to cower under or to try to wiggle out from under the trials and tests that You have put in my life to show me Your will. And I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, every woman in particular, that You would give great grace today as we think about the tremendous value that Ruth not only brought to her day and time, but the blessing that she is to us today, as she is this matriarch that was faithful to stand in the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are great and You are greatly to be praised. Help us to be faithful with the little things, so that You might call us to be with You soon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.